2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 15. The Bible says, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this day. Lord, I pray that you just help me tonight, Lord, and I pray that you just give me the words to say. Lord, I don't want to say anything I shouldn't, but Lord, I do want to say exactly what you'd have me to. Just give me the boldness, Lord, that I need to preach this tonight. Lord, I pray for our preacher as he's away. Just bless him and help him. Lord, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for our church family and just the faithfulness of those that are here tonight. And I pray for those that can't be here for various reasons. I pray that you just bless them and help them. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. In the verse we read, we're introduced to a man. And this is the verse where I originally kind of went back this week and I started looking at this. And we're introduced to a man in the Bible to a man named Balaam, the son of Beor. Balaam, the son of Beor. So let's go back, and we're going to look at this story about Balaam. Most of you are pretty familiar with it. But Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22. That where we read in 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 15, it's basically talking about Balaam and how he was basically a prophet for hire. He went and he was given a certain sum of money so that he would preach or he would say what these people wanted him to say. And we're going to read about that here. And Numbers chapter number 22, starting verse number 1. I'm going to read kind of fast, so try to keep up with it. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are around about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the words of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak, and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. And Balak sent again yet again princes, more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way, and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw that the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now I would kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, I am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day. Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. And when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto a city of Moab, which is in the border of Arnon, which is in the utmost coast. And Balak said unto Balaam, did I not earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not able to indeed to promote thee to honor? And Balaam said unto Balak, lo, I have come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. And Balaam went with Balak, and they came unto Kirjath-Huzoth. And Balak offered oxen and sheep and sent to Balaam and to the princes that were with him. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up into the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the utmost part of the people. I wanted to read that whole story because it all is very pertinent to what we're going to talk about tonight. I'm just simply going to, if I had a title or whatever, it would be Lessons from the Life of Balaam. Lessons from the Life of Balaam. I'm going to basically summarize the story for you, and then I've got four simple truths, and I think it's something that can be applied to, I know it's applicable to my life tonight, and I think everybody in here can be one of four people when I show it to you at the end here. So we're going to start out with Balak, the king of the Moabites. He sees all of Israel's enemies, I mean, they're just fallen. Every enemy that Israel goes up against is just being wiped out. So he's obviously very concerned about this. So he thinks, okay, well, I can't, obviously all these other heathen nations have their gods, and so far nothing has worked for anybody yet. So I'm going to try something new. So he's like, I'm going to go get this guy. And I've noticed that he says about Balaam, Balak says this about Balaam, this man who he curses is cursed, who he blesses is blessed. So he goes basically to a Christian, this man obviously believed in God because God came to him later. Balaam obviously believed in God because God came to him later and they had a conversation and different things. So I believe that he was a Christian or a saved person, believed in God. And so he sends an embassy to Balaam, a group of men, a princes, and the Bible says they had rewards of divination in their hand. They basically took money or gifts that they're going to pay Balaam to come with them and to curse these people that Balak once cursed. So Balaam, he's like, well, this is a great deal. It's a great deal. I get money for this. I mean, I haven't been paid for much recently. So this is fantastic. So he's like, well, let me check with God first. All right. So he's like, you guys can stay in the back room, sleep tonight. Me and God, we're going to have a conference tonight, see if I should go. So during the night, God comes to Balaam and he says, Balaam, I don't want you to go with these guys. The people that they're trying to get you to curse, I've already blessed them. I've blessed Abraham, I've blessed Isaac, I've blessed Jacob. It will do you no good to curse them. And Balaam's like, oh, man, all that money, all those good things, and I got to tell them to go home. So he goes out, and he obeys God. And up to this point, Balaam is in God's will, okay? Balaam is a Christian doing what God wants him to do. So he goes to these guys, and he says, all right, I can't go with you. God said these people are already blessed. I can't curse them. They said, okay, we'll go tell Balak. So these men go back to Balak, and they tell Balak, said, this guy won't come with us. He absolutely refuses to come. He says, God's already blessed these people, and he can't curse them. So Balak says, all right, everybody's got a price. So he gets even more princes, and he gets more possessions, more valuables, and then he sends this group of dignitaries to Balaam. So can you imagine, you know, Balaam is probably still thinking about all this money that he just lost because of this thing that God told him he couldn't do. And then a few days later, who shows up on his doorstep, but not only the same, maybe a few of the same guys, but there are more of them, and they've got even more riches. And Balaam's like, surely God's changed his mind. He's got to change his mind. I mean, look at all this stuff. I can tithe on it and, you know, do the whole thing that's Christian's excuse for it. So Balaam's like, all right, let me ask God again tonight. So Balaam goes that night and he asks God again. And God says, and this is interesting. I haven't really understood this completely, but I think I've got kind of an idea on it. God says, if they come to you in the morning, he says, go with them. Now, what did God originally tell him to do? No, you're not allowed to go with them. Then he says, okay, well, since you're asking me again, if you must, then if they come to you the next morning, go with them. Now, there's two different things here. If you read, these men didn't come back to him the next morning. Now, I don't know, you know, sometimes there's things in the Bible I think are omitted that you could assume happened, but I don't know if this is one of them. I don't know if they did come back to him in the morning to see what he was to say, but the Bible simply says, see if I can find it in verse number 21, and Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. So it didn't say that they came back to him. So he either directly disobeyed or the men came back to him and he went ahead and went with them. I don't know which happened. Okay, but the Bible, according to the Bible, doesn't say that they came back to him. Okay, maybe it was his responsibility to go to tell them and he just went and said, hey, let's go, guys. Now, is that what God had told him to do? No. He said, if they come back to you, go with them. I don't know, but I don't think that pertains to what we're going to talk about tonight. So Balaam saddles up and he heads off with these men. Now, Balaam has asked again, and God allows him to go, although I believe it is still against what God wants him to do. Because God originally told him, no, you're not allowed to do that. So Balaam's and his donkey and two servants are on their path, and all of a sudden, Balaam's donkey takes off into the field. And Balaam's like, what do you, you know, obviously, if you've ever rode a horse or anything like that, I've never rode a donkey or a mule, but everybody tells me they're really hard-headed. But, I mean, this thing takes off, and he's upset. So he hits the donkey and gets it back on the trail, and they trot along a little bit later. And finally, they come to a place where there's kind of two walls in a vineyard. And they're trotting along, and all of a sudden, that donkey hits its brakes and slams up against the wall. And the Bible says it crushes Balaam's foot. Now, I don't think it just, when it says it crushes, I'm assuming that it crushed Balaam's foot. So it's not it didn't just, you know, bump it and bruise it. I mean, I think it really hurt pretty bad. So Balaam smacks this donkey again, all right? Now, I've dealt with livestock some, okay? And there comes a time where your patience just runs out. I mean, and the guys with turkeys can tell you, and sorry, I've kicked some of your turkeys before. I have. I mean, there's only so many pecks you can take. You know, you got a 40-pound bird that's just pecking you. Every time you take a step, it runs up and pecks the back of your leg. There's just only so much a guy can take. I used to work in the hogs. And you got a 300-pound hog that thinks you're a play toy. And, you know, it comes, you're trying to fix a water line, and you got six of them around you. And they're just biting you. And finally, you just roll off and just kick them as hard as you can in the side of the head. And they just and come back and do it again. And it's like, at some point, get the gun, shoot these things. All right? And I think that's kind of where Balaam's at this point in life. You know, I mean, he's tried to get this crazy donkey back on the path again. So he gets it on the path, and then it crushes his leg. And then he hits it again. He keeps going, okay, donkey's doing good. And then the Bible says the angel of the Lord picked a place in the path where there wasn't room for the donkey to turn around. There was absolutely no room for it to do anything. So what did the donkey do? It just fell down. It completely collapsed. Well, this infuriated Balaam. So he doesn't just hit the donkey this time. Bible says he takes his staff and starts hitting the donkey, okay? So he's hitting the donkey, and something really weird starts to happen. Verse number 28, and the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee? Thou hast smitten me these three times. And all right? So something really weird has just happened. He's just got done beating her. I can just imagine one of those pigs, you know, what are you doing to me? You know? Whoa! But he just got done beating this donkey. And this donkey's like, what have I done to you? You've hit me 3 times already. What's going on? That's Brother Chad's paraphrasing, by the way. But that's not the funny part. To me, the funny part is what's next, okay? And Balaam said unto the ass, so now they're having, it's not just, you know, this donkey's talking to him. Bible doesn't say he looked at it in, you know, a sense of astonishment. He just starts talking back to it. Now, I don't know what's going on up in his mind, but something's not quite right. I mean, to have something talk to you is one thing, but then to start having a conversation with it, that's another thing. So then in verse number 29, it says, and Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now I would kill thee. Then the ass says unto Balaam, am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. So this donkey's trying to rationalize with Balaam. He's like, okay, Balaam, have I ever done this to you before? Balaam's like, no. And the donkey's trying to, I mean, the donkey's thinking more than what Balaam is at this point. It's like, what have I done to you? And what have I ever done this? Maybe there's a reason I'm doing this. And then in verse number 31, the Bible says, then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these 3 times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these 3 times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. Boy, that makes a guy feel good. Well, Balaam, do you know why your donkey is turned out of the way twice, or turned out of the way once, smashed your foot once, and then just stopped completely? Because it was saving your life, and you just hit it 3 times. Now, if the donkey would have kept going, be quite honest with you, Balaam, I would have killed you and let the donkey live. What self-worth? I mean, well, you're valuable to me, all right? So we see this story, and I know it's kind of, man, it's way out there, but it's in the Bible, okay? So I'm going to believe it, that this happened. Now, I've got 4 things, and I want to talk about these few things tonight. Let me finish the story first, I guess. The angel tells Balaam to go ahead and go, but he's only to say what God tells him to say. Balaam says, okay, I'll go, but I promise, I'll only say what you want me to say. And then it goes on, and Balaam, in 3 different places, Balak first takes Balaam to a place where Balaam can only see part of the children of Israel. And he's like, Balaam, I want you to curse these people. And so God, Balaam sets up an altar and they make sacrifices. And the short, long story is that Balaam ends up blessing the people of Israel. And Balak says, oh, that didn't work. So he goes to a different part where they can see more of the children of Israel. And they try it again, and Balaam blesses the people again. And they go to another spot, and Balaam ends up blessing the children of Israel 3 more times when he was supposed to be cursing them. And Balak is infuriated. And if you read at the end, chapter 23, and Balak says, all right, get out of here. You're done. You've not helped me at all, so just leave. So all the riches that Balaam wanted, all the notoriety, he lost it all anyway. But I want to look at 4 different things tonight, and I do want to be a blessing tonight. I really do. I want to look at both things from maybe from the donkey and from Balaam that we can learn things from. Number one, I guess we could call it the price. The price. Lessons from the life of Balaam, the price. You know, folks, I believe that there is a price that most people are willing to do to leave the will of God. Now, I'm not saying everybody. Maybe for you, there is no price. You say, Brother Chad, there is no price that I would ever leave the will of God. Well, I have to say in my life that there have been times that I have left the will of God, the perfect will of God. Okay? There have been times. And it's always been because there was a price that I was willing to accept to leave God's perfect will. Now, I'm talking about the perfect will, okay? I believe, and you, I think the part of the thing, you know, remember how I said I'm not sure what happened when God said, okay, you can go? I think maybe that was possibly a permissible will. God said, all right, if you have to, you can go. But you're going to deal with some consequences because of your decision. But my perfect will, Balaam, is for you to stay right here at home. That's my perfect will for you. So I think there's two different things here. But I believe that Balaam was enticed. If you remember what preacher just preached about temptation, two ingredients. There has to be a lust. There has to be a desire in your heart. And then there has to be an enticer. Well, if you look at this story, both ingredients are here. James chapter 1, verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. First of all, I believe that Balaam, in his heart, really wanted something that Balak was offering him, whether it be the notoriety or the wealth, but Balaam really wanted something that Balak was offering him. Okay? So there was in his heart a desire, a lust, if you would, to do something that was out of God's perfect will for him. Okay? So there is a price, and Balaam had this price, I think, in his mind of, okay, well, if it gets to a certain amount, man, that would be great. All right? And I think everybody, what's the price for you to leave? What is your price? What are you willing to sell out for? What are you willing to leave God's perfect will? You say, but Brother Chad, I'll be in God. I'll still go to church and I'll still... But is that God's perfect will? Is it God's perfect will? So do you have a price that you're willing to leave it for? What would it take for you to go against the commandments and precepts of God? Young people, would it take a little bit of peer pressure? Well, if I get too much pressure, I'm just going to leave God's perfect will. I can't handle it. Would it take a relationship? Is there a relationship that, well, this person, I know they're probably not God's perfect will, but man, I really think they like me and I've really got feelings for them. Is it a relationship? Because that's your price. That's what you're willing to sell for, okay? So what is it? I mean, folks, it could be a job. Are you willing to leave God's perfect will? That's a big thing for adults. It's a job. Folks, I'm nothing special, but I'll be dead honest with you. Probably every 2 months, I'm offered a full-time job. Easily every two, maybe every month. Somebody be like, hey, if you ever need work, I got full-time. You can have full-time, full benefits anytime you want it. Now, what price would it take for me to say, well, I'm in God's perfect will as far as I know right now. What would it take for me to leave that? Is there a price? Is there a price for you to leave God's perfect will? Because Balak had a price. The first time, I think it made him turmoil. It made him think about it, mull about it. And all he did between the time that those men left is I think all he thought about was all that he could have got. So Balak had a price. Would it take a relationship? Would it take wealth? What would it take to leave the principles of your life that you claim to chase after the things of the world? Hey, folks, we all need to do a self, me included. What does it take, Brother Chad? What would it take, Brother Chad, for you to leave? What if somebody was going to take your life? Would you leave? Because at that point, my life is my price. Does that make sense? So if somebody says, well, you either do this or you die, then that's my price. My life is my price. So what is your price? And sad to say, folks, most of the time, many times, the price is really low. It's too easy. We just want something too bad. Oh, man, but if I do this, I can get a new vehicles, I can get new toys, I can get a new house, I can... What's your price? Do you have a price? I think probably most people have a price of some degree. I'm just being dead honest with you. If they was offered a certain amount, they would leave. Just saying. Young people, what relationship would you leave God's will for? What sense of acceptance? Well, Brother Chad, I just want to be accepted. So you're going to, that's your price. The opinion of other people is your price. That could have been Balak's price because he was offered notoriety, fame, promotion. That could have been Balak's price. Nobody knows about me, Balaam, the son of Peor, or Bozor. Sorry, Bozor. He lived in the other place. Nobody knows about me. I want people to know about me. That could have been his price.
I don't know what his price was. Brother Chad, I've never been tempted with those things before.
Okay. But the devil will tempt you at some point with a price. Maybe you haven't had a price yet. So, Brother Chad, I've never had that opportunity come to me to leave God's will. Okay, it will come, though. That young man, young ladies, will come. That young lady, young men, will come. Oh, Brother Chad, they won't. Yeah.
There's a price. There's a price. So Balak had a price. So that was the first thing, the price. Number two was the warning. The warning. Let me ask you this. Was it God's perfect will for Balaam to go? Based upon what we've looked at in the Bible. No, I don't believe it was God's perfect will for Balaam to go. Is it God's will for you to do what you are doing? What kind of secret desire or secret sin do you have that is not in the will of God? What friendship do you have that is not in the will of God? Who's pulling you away from your parents, your pastor? Who's pulling you away from your husband, your wife? Who's pulling you away from your ministry at church? What is it that's pulling you away? What kind of attitudes you have? Like I said, I don't completely understand why God allowed Balaam to go ahead and go, even though he originally told him not to go. You know, when we read the Bible, sometimes we can be pretty judgmental of people. When I first read this, I thought, well, Balaam, you're stupid. What in the world are you doing? God, just kill him now. Just kill him. And then I was like, whoa, hang on a second, Brother Chad. How many times have you left God's perfect will? How many times have you done that? I've done it many times. I'm ashamed of it, but I'll tell you. And I think if you was honest with yourself, there have been times that you've not done exactly what God's wanted you to do. Okay? I've done it. I've seen times when maybe I wasn't in the perfect will of God. Maybe I was in a permissible will of God. Okay? I believe that although Balaam said he was going to say exactly what God wanted him to say, well, God, I'll just do exactly. It's kind of like a Christian, okay, that wants to go be a part of the world in efforts to reach the world. That's basically what God, this is Balaam. God, I'll go, I'll be a good witness for you. Right. Right. Same thing. Same thing that we go through. I don't think he was really going to until his encounter with the angel. I think that scared the wits out of Balaam. All right? Brother Chad, I'm leaning towards this direction with my life, and God hasn't put a stop to it. Well, Brother Chad, I've done some things. I've got some friends. I've headed in a direction with my life, or maybe I'm entertaining these opportunities with my life, and God's not shut the door on it yet. Well, maybe he hasn't exactly stopped it yet. What do you want him to do, kill you? Is that the stop that you want in your life? I mean, there's doors, and if God shuts the door, doesn't mean he puts bars across the other side to keep you from busting it through. I think sometimes as Christians, God shut the door. God shut the door in this, but I'm going to try to pick the lock, see if I can get through, all right? Oh, I got through, preacher, God opened the door. No, he didn't. You busted it open, all right? So I think there's maybe warnings that we need to pay attention to. Maybe God hasn't completely stopped you yet, but what subtle warnings have you not paid attention to? What subtle warnings? Listen, folks, think. What subtle warnings have you not paid attention to? That first warning that the donkey sent Balaam was a pretty subtle warning. That could have been portrayed as the donkey just wanted to get away. But remember what the donkey said? At what time have I ever done this to you before? It was completely out of character. It wasn't like that was what it was known to do. This was completely out of characteristic for this donkey. So for this donkey to go away, that was warning number one. Warning number two, the donkey smashed Balaam's foot up against the wall. And it caused Balaam what? Pain. Sometimes, folks, God sends you a warning that causes you some pain. But unfortunately, like Balaam, many times we're blinded to what those that are trying to warn us can actually see. The third thing is the beast just laid down. He said, I won't go. I'm done. All right? The talking of the donkey, how can you get a stronger warning than an animal talking to you? All right? When it tells you, hey, stupid, what are you doing? All right? Why are you beating me? That's a pretty strong warning. okay? When the animals start talking to you, maybe you should see what God wants, okay? So the talking of the donkey was as strong a warning as you will get. Let me read a few verses. I want to kind of throw this in there. You know, Balaam, what was his reaction to the donkey? Was he happy with it or mad with it? Mad, angry, mad with it. That was proper English. Angry with it. Was he angry or happy with it? Angry. He's very angry. You know, that's a typical response of somebody that's going in a wrong direction and is warned, is they get angry. What Brother Chad, Proverbs 9:8, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Oh, thank you, donkey. I'm glad you saved my life. Is that what he did? No. Stupid donkey. That's what the Bible says. And I see, it seems like, well, Brother Chad, these people just hate me. We don't hate you. We're trying to warn you. And then you get your hackles up and everything's all defensive. Why? Don't look at Pastor up here when he's trying to warn you of things. Maybe it's time to look at your own life and say, well, okay, if I'm getting mad at the man that's trying to protect me, what's he protecting me from? Look at that first, okay? Proverbs 13:1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Proverbs 27:5, open rebuke is better than secret love. Ecclesiastes 7:5, is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the songs of fools. So who are you mad at right now? Brother Chad, I just can't get along with my mom and dad right now. Why? Brother Chad, I just can't get along with preacher. I can't hardly talk to him when I go out the door. Why? What's he done? Besides maybe warn you. But Brother Chad, he hurt me. Maybe he hurt you to protect you. I don't think preacher would ever hurt somebody. But sometimes what is said, we take as being hurtful because it really cuts to us. So what is it that has been said? What is it that, you know, a leader has said that, man, I just don't like that person? Why? Because they're trying to warn you? Balaam didn't like his donkey at this present time in life. But here in about 5 minutes, he's real grateful for his donkey. All right? If you're always getting burr under your saddle with things Pastor says, you might ask yourself why. I think Pastor's doing his job. His job is to watch for your soul. Don't get mad at him. Get right. Folks, I know in my life there's times that God has allowed things to happen. Sometimes they've even hurt. To change the direction I had in my mind, I was going this way. God says, no, I don't want you to go that way. And God maybe sent some warnings. First, God starts with subtle things, just little things. If you don't listen to little things, it gets louder and louder and louder. What do you want, talking donkey? I'm serious. What do you want? At some point, God can only send. I mean, I think God was pretty gracious to Balaam at this point. I don't see any other man in the Bible that had a warning sent from God through a donkey. So I think God was pretty merciful, long-suffering with Balaam at this point in his life. So we saw the price that Balaam was willing to sell for. We see the warning that Balaam ignored. Let's look at the impact. Let's look at the impact. Balaam was not allowed by God to curse the children of Israel. I think if you went through the same experience that Balaam had just gone through, you would pretty much do what God told you to do at this point. I mean, the angel was standing there, not with his sword in his sheath. He was ready to kill. Balaam just met his death angel, literally. He saw him, but God had mercy on him, okay? So Balaam was not allowed by God to bless the children of Israel. He was scared out of his wits by a series of warnings and a meeting with his own death angel. So, okay, so Brother Chad, why the big deal about leaving the will of God? It didn't seem like it hurt Balaam that bad. Did it? Has it hurt Balaam to this point in his life? No. Not really. Brother Chad, I can leave God's will. I can go out here and be a part of the world, and I can come back and
nothing will change. God will send me a few warnings. I'll get the idea. So what if God didn't send the warnings? What if God stopped with warning number two when Balaam got his foot crushed? And then the next time, God just killed him. How many warnings does it take in your life before you say, oh, whoa, wait a second. Maybe God's already decided you get one warning. Maybe it's two. Most of the time in my life, God's given me multiple chances. That's just a test of the graciousness of God. But at what point does God say, that's enough? That's enough. So the impacts, we saw the price, we saw the warning. We're going to look at the impact. Even though Balaam was not allowed to curse the children of Israel, let me throw this idea at you. He introduced to Balak the idea that they could destroy the children of Israel from within. Now, hang on with me. We didn't read everything about this story. We didn't read everything. This is going to be real interesting here pretty soon. Brother Chad, why is it important that I stay in the perfect will of God? Because the story's not over yet. He introduced to Balak, I think sometime at supper or lunch, they were sitting down together, and Balak said, Balaam, why can't you curse them? Balaam said, well, God told me I can't curse them. Well, there's got to be a way that we can defeat them. And Balaam said, I know a way. God loves them because they do what God wants them to do. So if I can get them to do something that God doesn't want them to do, God will hate them. Therefore, when God hates them, then you can destroy them. Did you follow me through that line of reasoning? So if we can get the children of Israel to disobey God, God will no longer bless them, but God will curse them, and then you can go in and destroy them. This is how we can get them, Balak. Well, I never thought about that, but we might be able to do that. So in the next few days, Balaam had gone home at this point. In the next few days, Balak started to send young ladies and priests over to the camp of the children of Israel, maybe to buy things, maybe just to mingle, friends. Hey, we're part of the same. You believe pretty much the same way we do. And he dressed them seductively. Chapter number 25. Verse number 1. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. So the young ladies come in, they got the young guys' attention, and then they said, hey, come over here, you can come to our church. We're pretty much like you guys. So they go over there and they start worshiping false idols. Two sins, fornication, idolatry. Fornication and idolatry. So, Brother Chad, this has nothing to do with Balaam. Just wait. Nothing to do with Balaam. Verse number 3, and Israel joined himself unto... We're talking about the impact here, folks. The impact of leaving God's perfect will. Verse number 3, and Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people. Just heads. Didn't say take the people, said take the heads. Sorry, I have a vivid imagination. So when he said heads, I think he meant heads. Okay? That means without bodies. All right? There we go. Let's clear that up. And hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel, this is gross right here. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Men are getting slaughtered right now. Their heads are getting chopped off. And a man in such defiance of all this takes a woman that he wants to commit fornication with, walks her right in front of all the people that are crying out to God to have mercy on them, and go takes her into his tent. This is what happens. This is the Bible, folks. Such perverseness, all right?
And when Phinehas, verse 7, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation, took a javelin in his hand, and went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. Listen to this. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. Brother Chad, leaving the will of God doesn't have its impact. Verse 9. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. 24,000 men or ladies just died because one man left the will of God and then told somebody how he could harm the children of Israel. They would have never, Balak never would have come up with this by himself. It took Balaam, who left the will of God, to give Balak this idea. And then as a result, 24,000 people lost their lives. 24,000 people. That's like the size of our county. Everybody dead. 24,000 people. So there is an impact. Numbers chapter 31. Numbers chapter 31. So, Brother Chad, why did Balaam have to do with that? I'll show you. Numbers chapter 31, verse number 7. And they warred against the Midianites. This is who the children of Israel were involved with. Okay? Moab, Midian. As the Lord commanded Moses, and they slew all the males. And they slew the kings of Midian beside the rest of them that were slain, namely. Now we got a list of names of kings. All right? We're going to read these. Evi, and Rechem, and Zur, and Hur, and Reba. Five kings of Midian. Whoa. Balaam, also the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. Okay? Why is one man noted among five kings and there's one other man? And the children of Israel took all the women of Midian captives, and it goes keeps going down, and Moses is angry. Verse number 16. Behold, these caused the children... This is Moses talking. Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam. Through the counsel of Balaam. So these caused, these women, the Midianitish women, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. So this, all the blame is coming back on Balaam. It's not coming back on the Israelites necessarily. Now, granted, they did make a choice, but the blame is coming back on Balaam. Let's flip over, if you would, to Revelation chapter 2. Opposite end. It's fascinating that God took one man that left the perfect will of God and used him as an illustration through the whole Bible. There's references in Micah. There's references in, well, we looked at one in 2 Peter. There's references in Joshua. All of them. Jude, there's a reference. Revelation chapter number 2. Sorry, I'm talking. I'm going to get there. Revelation chapter number 2, verse number 14. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. Wow. One man who left the will of God, what God told him to do, who left that will of God, the consequences that he has had. He's an illustration in the opposite end of the Bible, in Revelation. All right? Yes, folks, it is important that you stay in the will of God. It is important that I stay in the will of God. Because it doesn't just affect me. It affects me staying in the will of God affects you. You staying in the will of God affects me. Me staying in the will of God affects those two little girls and that boy back there. Okay? Me staying in the will of God affects my grandchildren if God gives us some. Me staying in the will of God affects our community. Me staying in the will of God affects those I come in contact with. So think about everybody in here. If you stay in the will of God, what it can do. But if you leave the will of God, what else will it do? Who else will it hurt? What else will it do? God wouldn't turn his back on the Israelites, praise the Lord. So we had the price that Balaam was willing to pay or to receive to leave God's perfect will. We have the warning that Balaam was given and he wouldn't heed it. until at the very end when I think God was pretty much ready to kill him. Then we have the impact. Wow, look at the impact. 24,000 people. And a Bible illustration through the whole Bible. And my last point, I thought this was actually kind of funny after I did it and I started working on it. My last point's called the end. That's pretty good. That's the end. So this is my last point. The end. As a result of Balaam disobeying God, 24,000 Israelites disobeyed God and lost their lives. As a result of Balaam disobeying God, in two different places, the Bible specifically records the name of Balaam as being killed by the sword of the Israelites. Let me challenge you. Just stay in God's perfect will. The end is not good when you leave God's perfect will. Young people, the fences, the rules, the standards we have, they're not there to hurt you. They're there to protect you. Folks, the ones that warn you are not there to hurt you. They're there to protect you. That donkey told Balaam, Balaam, when have I ever done this to you? Why are you lashing out against me? I'm just trying to protect you. And then God opened his eyes. Whoa, thank you. You never hear about that donkey again. I don't know what happened to it. Folks, those that are there to warn you are not to hurt you, although sometimes it may hurt. They are there to keep you from something that will harm you even greater. Young people, your parents aren't there to hurt you. Although sometimes the warnings they give, they will hurt. Believe me, I got lots of warnings growing up that did hurt. Okay? But you know those warnings that hurt kept me from something that would hurt much more. When I told a lie and I got spanked for it, that was to keep me from something else later on that was going to hurt me much worse. Make sense? Follow me? Okay. I'm going to go over four different kinds of people and we'll be done. Several different kinds of people in here tonight. And I'm one of them. You may say, Brother Chad, I'm in two or three of those categories. I think everybody can say he's in one. Okay? One is the person that you're in the perfect will of God. Say, Brother Chad, as far as I know, I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do. As far as I know, I'm in perfect will of God. But in your heart, you're in the perfect will of God, but in your heart, there's a price that you're willing to sell for. What is it? Now, this takes some self-examination, but at first, everybody wants to come off, well, no, there's a price. I'll die for Jesus. Would you? Would you? Most of us wouldn't, to be quite frank with you, if really it came down to it. But I think God, at that point, gives you a certain grace. Okay, I think he does. A grace to die. But you know, there's also a lot of times prices that we're willing to pay. Sometimes it's just we don't want people to make fun of us. We want to fit in with everybody else. That's your price, the opinion of people. Sometimes it's a job. Sometimes it's money. That's your price. It's wealth. So there's the one person that you could be offered something that might cause you, you may have never even been offered it yet. Young men, young ladies, that Mr. or Mrs. Perfect may have never showed up yet. So you say, Brother Chad, that's never happened to me. But let me say this, the devil will make sure that they do before the perfect one does come. Okay? If you follow me with that. Let me challenge you tonight to do this. If you're that person, ask God to help you so that in a moment of weakness, you don't leave God's perfect will. You say, Brother Chad, I believe I'm in God's perfect will. Well, then, let me just encourage you. Ask God to help you stay in God's perfect will. Ask God to, if you do have stuff in your heart, you say, Brother Chad, I don't really even think of anything I got in my heart. Well, ask God to keep your heart pure towards him. Ask God to help you to not have something that you would leave God's will for. So that's the first person. Secondly, there may be some that have left the perfect will of God. And you've developed a caustic attitude towards those who want to help you. Say, Brother Chad, maybe I've left. And you have to be honest with yourself on this. Brother Chad, I don't. Honestly, if I was honest, dead honest with you, I don't think I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do. And in my heart, when somebody rebukes me or somebody warns me, I want to flare up. I want to hit back. That's what Balaam did. It's exactly what Balaam did. The donkey was not there to hurt him, although he did hurt him. He was there to protect him. So why don't you return to the will of God and make things right, listen, with those who love you? Did Balak care anything for Balaam except for what he could do for Balak? No. Balak couldn't care less about Balak. But that donkey had been with Balak ever since he was able to ride it. And in a weird sort of way, the donkey cared for Balaam. The donkey was looking out for him. Thirdly, there might be some here who have as their roles. Now, folks, I really don't know how to word this, so you're just going to have to kind of forgive me. Don't take it wrong, okay? But you're kind of the donkey in the story. Sorry. Okay? Now, if you're going to be offended, you're going to be offended anyway. So, but you are. Now, listen. Listen. Some of you have the role of the one that's supposed to be warning. In a way, pastor has the role of that donkey. His job is to warn you against things that he sees that you can't see. Balaam's donkey saw things that Balaam couldn't see yet. Did you read that? The Lord opened his eyes and then he saw the angel. Young people, your parents see things that you can't see yet. The leaders in school and stuff, they see things that you can't see yet. They see a relationship that you can't see the outcome yet, but they see it. And I want to say to those that are in that position of warning other people, don't quit. Don't quit. You know, Balaam's donkey could have quit because the Bible says the angel was going to kill both of them. No, one. And it wasn't the donkey. The donkey could have quit at any time. Well, I tried to warn them. I tried to take them out of the way so they wouldn't get hurt and they wouldn't listen to me. So I'm just going to, that's the last time I'm going to warn them. Folks, let me ask you, please, don't give up. Don't give up warning. Sometimes people lash back, but don't give up the warning. Keep warning, keep warning, keep warning. If you're that person, don't give up the warning. Don't give up on that family member that you're trying to warn. Your son, your daughter, other family member. Don't give up on them. You don't know when God's last opportunity is. Don't give up on that child. Don't give up on that bus kid that you're trying to warn about what's right and what the impending danger is. Don't give up on that Sunday school young person that you're trying to warn. Don't give up on them. Just keep warning. So we've got those that might be in the perfect will of God, but you've got something that maybe you need to take care of. You've got those that maybe you've left the perfect will of God and you're in a way you're lashing out. Get that right. Get back to perfect will of God. And make it right with those that are trying to warn you. Man, if I was Balaam, that donkey, I would treat it like gold. I would. I mean, I'd give it oats every morning, alfalfa. I'd give it molasses to drink if it wanted it. I mean, I would do whatever it wanted, okay? So if you're in that position, go back to God's perfect will and make it right with those who are trying to warn you. If you're in the third position of you're warning other people, don't give up. Don't give up. Because maybe they just need one more warning, and then they'll turn. So don't give up on them. Fourthly, let me say this tonight in closing. There might be some that you're in the process of leaving God's will. Listen to me carefully. You say, Brother Chad, I've listened to you tonight. And Brother Chad, I am in the donkey's position tonight. I'm warning you about leaving God's perfect will. You say, Brother Chad, I've listened to you tonight. But the price has already been paid. I'm happy with the price. So I'm leaving the perfect will of God. Or I will be leaving the perfect will of God whenever I get my opportunity. Let me ask you to do this, please, for me. The donkey can't really stop Balaam, and those that warn you can't really stop you. So you're going to go do what you want to do, regardless of what those that warn you tell you to do. Okay? I beg of you, don't do it. please, don't leave God's perfect will. But if you go, please take a little bit of time to reap, listen to me, to reap the consequences of your actions before you pull other people with you. We've warned you that this consequence lays ahead of you. But if you won't believe us, if Balaam didn't believe the donkey and kept on going, reap the consequences before you pull other people with you. It wasn't fair of Balaam. Balaam went and he couldn't do what he wanted to do. He couldn't curse the people three times. He had to bless them all three times. Maybe he was disheartened. Maybe he was upset. He was mad that what he thought he was going to get through the world didn't pan out for him. So he went home empty-handed. But as a last spitting shot, he said, oh, by the way, I know how you can get those people of God. Here, these two things. Reap the consequences. Don't pull other people in with you. If you're gonna go do something and get killed by the angel of God, do it by yourself, not with 24,000 other people. Okay? So, Brother Chad, that's harsh. Well, how many warnings do you want? A talking donkey? I may look like a donkey and I'm talking, okay? But I'm here warning you tonight. Don't leave God's perfect will. You've got a price. You've got a warning. You've got the end result. Or you've got the impact, and then you've got the end. What will it be? Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for this night. Lord, I hope I did this justice, God. I didn't know for sure what I should say. And Lord, I pray that you just, Lord, if there's just one person that touches tonight, Lord, that it helped me today. And Lord, I pray that it was a blessing to other people. Lord, I pray if there's those here that are in the process of leaving God's perfect will, Lord, help them just to take heed, take the warning, God. And I don't want anything bad for anybody here or anybody that maybe already left God's will. Lord, we don't want bad for them. We just want them to come back, Lord, before they hurt themselves and before they hurt other people. Lord, I pray that you'd help those that are in the position of warning others. I pray that they would keep up the good work that they're doing. Lord, help them not to turn aside even though some may lash out against them. Lord, help them to keep doing what they're supposed to be doing. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your long suffering. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you for that in this sinner's life, Lord. And I'm grateful for the warnings that I've been given and the second chances, Lord. And thank you for being a God of a second chance. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.